Hey everybody, it's the GB Podcast for the 1st of May.
It is the 1st of May.
Yeah.
This is
May Day, May Day.
Does anybody celebrate May Day anymore?
Yeah, there's a huge rally downtown for immigration rights.
That's been going on for a while. That's the hot topic at the moment. So
but it is. I'm Andrew.
I'm Naz.
And
I have no idea what number this is. Maybe
I think we've lost count. I think we can stop doing
it. It doesn't matter. Point. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we missed a week because of a trip to New York on my part. I was out there for a little business and a little pleasure. And one of the bits of pleasure was Shake Shack. Have you heard of Shake Shack?
Yeah, I mean, if you're... That's like the big thing in New York right now, the Shake Shack.
It kind of is. It's especially big in the, in the good weather. It's sort of what it sounds like. It's a burgers, hot dogs, milkshakes, ice cream in Madison Square Park, which is one of the nicer little parks. It's sort of in downtown. It's like 25th to 23rd.
Do we have one? Do we have an equivalent?
I don't think
the Millennium Park Grill is a good equivalent.
No, not exactly.
I guess we don't have a good Shake Shack equivalent.
Nothing with the excitement and the dedication that people go through with this place, Shake Shack. I mean, people line up. Hot dogs, maybe, but in a different for different reasons. I mean,
how are the prices?
Pretty reasonable.
New York standards or for...
No, for any standard. I mean, a fully loaded hot dog was it was a little higher than here.
Okay.
But it was like, $6.50 for a fully loaded chicken apple sausage.
Did you get fries with that?
Fries are extra. So it is a little more, I guess, in general.
I mean, not that hot dogs, gives you fries, but at the same time you can get a normal hot dog.
Yeah, for like $2.
$2.50.
And in most of the just mom and pop type stands.
Yeah, exactly.
They do include fries.
So what'd you sample there?
So we got the shake burger, which
that's what they're famous for.
That's their specialty. Mm-hmm. It was very good.
What makes it good? What makes it good?
The bun is really high quality. It's toasted. It's obviously very fresh, but there's that nice crispness to the toasted bit.
Have you had an In-N-Out burger?
I've had one once, and it's been many
years. I want to know how it compares to an In-N-Out, because that's apparently what people are telling me.
Maybe somebody can comment. The meat is very good. It's high quality. It's well salted.
Is it thin or kind of thick?
It's fairly thin. It's about what you'd get at, size-wise, it's about the size of, say, a Billy Goat burger.
Okay.
It's not nearly as greasy. But not that it's not greasy. It's just not nearly as greasy. And it comes with, your standard toppings. There's the Shack sauce, which is...
What is the Shack
homemade
sauce?
It's essentially a homemade Thousand Island.
Gotcha.
But
it's a lot better.
Again, high quality. you're getting some good stuff. However, they also have the Shake-Cago dog. You're sensing a theme with the names, but yes. The Chicago dog, the Chicago-style hot dog that they offer, includes a New York hot dog on a poppy seed bun. And I say New York hot dog because it is not Vienna beef. It's not, it's not a kosher beef dog.
What kind of dog is it?
Whatever your standard Chicago or New York hot dog stand has. Dirty water dog, I think, is what they call it.
Did you go to Glaze Papaya?
No,
or Papaya
I never made
King
it.
Or
never made it to one.
Gotcha. Okay.
So besides the dog, it's on a poppy seed roll that unfortunately is a little mealy. Not the best roll I've had, or bun, I guess I should say. Mustard, relish, pickle, tomato slices, cucumber slices are listed, although they weren't on mine.
Okay.
And then onions, chopped onions.
Right.
So I got it without the onions, just didn't want them. And for some reason that meant I didn't get cucumbers as well. It was not the same. It was not as good.
Aside from the bun.
Aside from the bun.
The hot dog condiments? The whole package?
The hot dog was, you know, it was all right. It was flavorful. It was a little small, a little thin.
Mm-hmm.
But the ratio of mustard was way too high, which encouraged the bun to become mushy. I mean, I don't know if you've had a New York style hot dog.
No, not a New York.
They slather it on. Yeah, so it's got that much ketchup instead of just like a drizzle across
don't
the
top. I can't remember because it's been a long time since I've had a Chicago hot dog, but do they actually put the mustard on for you?
Yeah, usually.
I thought they
did. If you get it fully loaded, they usually put it
on. Gotcha.
So the mustard, there was too much mustard, and the relish, you know, it was so far away from Piccalilli.
It wasn't the neon green stuff.
It didn't even have to be neon green. But
it
this
just
stuff
tastes good.
All right, so you've had a hot dog.
Yeah.
It tastes, you know, it's the relish is sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It's crisp. Mm-hmm. This was sour dill, almost pureed. It was the wrong texture. It was the wrong flavor. And it was very wet, so it encouraged
the mushy bun
even further. So it was a little off. But, you know, otherwise it was great. The shakes were really good. But it got me thinking. You know, I had this crazy, quote-unquote, Chicago dog. And there are, you know, there are some pretty, some people would consider serious deviants from the standard Chicago style here.
There they are.
Yeah. So, like, Byron's. They have lettuce and green peppers.
The peppers thing is kind of a Chicago thing, though.
Green peppers. Not the sport peppers. Oh, it did have sport peppers, and they were real sport peppers. I almost forgot. It did have those. They were good. But, you know, lettuce and...
Yeah, lettuce. Lettuce and a hot dog.
Pepper.
Yeah, not my thing.
I had a big argument with my brother for a number of years that I finally acquiesced on whether lettuce was an acceptable condiment. Topping on a Chicago salad.
I say no.
I finally have, you know, acquiesced, swallowed my pride, and said, yes, you're right. No lettuce on a hot dog.
No lettuce on a hot dog. Exactly. Sauerkraut, slaw, some sort of pickled version of it, I think, would be fine.
I think,
you know, like a some kind of. I've had a hot dog which had slaw on it.
Okay.
Not a super mayo-y slaw, but kind of a
sort of like a vinegar slaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I forget where and when. It was a long time ago, but it was super good.
Huh.
It was some kind of homemade version of sauerkraut, but it wasn't cloudy. It was more of a slaw, and it had poppy seeds in the slaw.
Oh, that's good.
Which made it really good.
All right.
I can't remember where this was. I don't even know.
Was it in Chicago?
I don't even know if it was in Chicago. So
I could see that being like a hot dog thing.
Yeah, you know.
Sort of a gourmet.
Maybe
hot dog.
I had it at Hot Dogs. I don't know.
It's possible.
Maybe he had something like that. But so, yeah, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
The hot dog wars are interesting in terms of, you know, what kind of hot dogs you get.
Right.
I mean, Chicago has a claim to fame. So does New York.
Yeah. Boston claims something or other. I'm not sure if it's their own.
Who's the chili cheese?
That is Detroit.
That's Detroit.
Which calls it a Coney dog.
Coney
Island.
See, my first Coney dog was from A&W.
Yeah.
You know, the Coney dogs there, the cheese, and it's good stuff.
Right. But the Coney dog in Detroit is very different from the Coney Island.
Right. The Coney Island dog is definitely different.
Right.
That's what I heard. And then there's the other famous place for dogs is in L.A. Pink's.
Yeah, Pink's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which seems to be kind of like a smattering of all sorts of stuff.
It's not like a type of dog.
No,
it's just
it's a
hot dog's. Kind of place with different. They have a California dog with avocado and things
Does
like that.
Does that have
alfalfa
sprouts on it?
I think so.
That would be funny.
It's like the hippie, you know, California, good living, good times dog. But
it makes me wonder how a hot dog has gotten such a pass on you know, these crazy sausages that he offers up.
Well,
you know. Compared to your standard. And he does have a standard Chicago-style hot dog.
He does.
But it's not, you know, the best in the world. There are definitely better
examples.
Well,
who do you think has the classic... Would you go to Vienna Beef? Would you go to the factory and that's where you get one? Where would you go get a classic...
You know, maybe that's something we should ask people. You know,
I'm curious.
If you've got an opinion of what is the quintessential Chicago-style hot dog, please leave it in the comments. Let us know what you think.
I think the first and only Chicago hot dog I've ever had was from Demon Dogs when I was at DePaul, and I had my first.
That
Chicago
one's definitely
dog.
Good. I go to Byron's on a regular basis, and it isn't a standard, but it is pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a tough one. There's so many to choose from.
There are. I do have certain hot dog joints I like Kiwi's in Andersonville, and I'm curious about Budaki's, which you've been to.
Yeah, it's not too far from my office. It's on Damon, block south of Lawrence.
Lawrence.
And yeah, they claim to have frites. like proper pommes frites. It's if you've ever had the ones
are they
that,
thick cut or are they actually
no, they're
thin.
they're fairly thin.
Okay,
they're not bad.
They
tend to be a little bit cold. I'm not sure if they're just waiting or if they end up prepping them too far ahead of the hot dog. I don't know.
I had frites at Minnie's this past weekend, and not bad.
Okay,
super thin cut, pretty tasty. But Minis as a concept, and if you're not familiar with Minis, it's essentially where all the food is mini size.
Right.
Popular with the kids. Lots of sliders. They have 18 kinds of sandwiches. I had we had a variety. We shared 6 sandwiches. We got the PB&J, the Cuban, the Thanksgiving Delight, the tuna melt, the Lubin.
Wow.
And a toasted apricot jamblee sandwich.
Whoa.
That was the best thing I
had. Now, when you say mini, how big are we talking? Are we talking like
dinner
rolls?
We're talking sliders. We're talking White Castle.
All right.
Maybe,
so really
maybe 1/5 bigger than a White Castle. Imagine a White Castle sandwich that was kind of pouring out the sides and not so cleanly cut. That's what a mini is. Sandwich. Mm-hmm. It's like if you took, a sandwich roll and cut off a nice 2-inch end off the end, off a baguette.
Yeah.
That's what the size is. It's about 2x2, 2.5 maybe.
Cool.
But the whole deal is getting two, you get 3 at a time.
Right.
And they go in 3 increments. So you can get 3 or 6 or 12.
Okay.
And, you got fleets on the side and whatnot, but they have, their drinks are mini size. They're all mini bar, alcoholic, 8-ounce Heinekens, and they give you. There's like a deal that's called the mini deal, and it's a it's not bad for $14. You get fleets with their special sauce, which is their version of Thousand Island as well.
Right.
It's some kind of aioli Thousand Island. They call it an aioli more than they do a Thousand Island,
right.
But it's more of a Thousand Island thing.
Sure.
You get 3 burgers, and you get an 8-ounce carafe of whatever you want to drink.
Wow.
On tap. So.
Well, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's kid-friendly, too. It was kind of a weird vibe, because a lot of parents brought their kids in.
Yeah.
And but, a lot of people were drinking
on
a Sunday afternoon, too.
It was
so.
A good time for it, I guess. But cool.
But, yeah, I wouldn't go back.
No?
No. I think it was novel. The portion size is pretty good. We split fleets, and we had 3 sandwiches each.
Yeah.
In terms of portion size was good.
Mm-hmm.
Very pricey though.
Yeah. How much was the sandwich?
The sandwich $8.75 for 3 with no fries.
Wow.
I've heard the views of each sandwich being akin to the size of half a sandwich.
Yeah.
But that's not really the case.
Yeah.
It's not satisfying on that level.
Sure.
The variety is nice because you get little bites of different things, but it's not like eating just one sandwich, It's like eating a bunch of really tiny apps. At least with sliders, it's kind of the same thing.
Right.
Except
so you feel a little more.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Huh.
Definitely, I didn't think it was worth $9. That's $3 a sandwich.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Compared to, 57 cents or something like that?
Exactly,
for White Castle.
And, obviously the quality is better, but, you could go to...
But that much better?
Yeah, you could go to Beans and Bagels and get a really good bagel sandwich for $3.
Yeah.
That's a lot more satisfying.
Right.
Or you could go, you could go to McDonald's and have, a burger for a couple more bucks. Or your local,
$3,
burger
joint.
$3,
you've got a Big Mac, or you've got three,
$3 will buy you a decent burger at any decent, greasy joint around the corner. So.
Sure. Hot dog sandwich.
A hot dog,
exactly.
Right
around.
So,
well.
It's Lincoln Park, so,
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
But, they got to cover that rent.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting. If you're, the concept is kind of cool to check out. The ambiance is kind of a mixed bag. It's a little dingy in there, surprisingly, for a Linkin Park place. It's got that 50s retro salt and pepper, you know, diner feel.
Yeah.
I think if you go try to sit at the bar rather than sit in the back with the kids,
yeah, a little
get
quieter.
A bar seat, a little quieter. You can kind of talk to the bartender, and I do that. So
cool.
But all enough right. Food talk.
Enough. Let's talk about what's going on this week.
All right, what is going on this week?
Well, tonight, I don't know, did you have anything for tonight, Thursday?
I do.
What do you got?
I thought this was kind of interesting for those into beer, because we like to bring up beer.
Yeah.
The Chicago Beer Society is...
their first Thursday?
I guess their first Thursday. I wasn't sure if this was their first meeting or their first Thursday.
No, I think it's first Thursday.
May 1st from 7 to 10 at Goose Island in the Clybourne.
North Club. Yeah, right.
In the, before they
close. Which is
going to
close, so you got to get in there. I think they, what is it, the sometime later this year. I don't think they have a set date.
That's
true. When they'll close. They've lost their lease, which is a shame.
It sucks. It's a nice spot. But the Beer Society will be there, and they encourage you to bring your beer so that they can taste it.
Your personal homemade beer?
Yeah, and then they'll kind of talk about it. So kind of a beer tasting
with
friends. Share your own homebrew.
Cool.
So that's going on tonight.
Excellent. If you don't have it done, your own beer, you aren't going to be able to make it in time. But that's okay. So Friday night, it's Looptopia into Saturday morning.
Looptopia is kind of an interesting, I'm sure many of you have heard about Looptopia.
Yeah, last year it was a bit of a freeze out, got a little cold.
I think it'll be cold again.
It's supposed to rain on tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's the downside.
Which is worrisome. So if you're going to go, there's a ton of stuff, it's all over the loop. Primarily the, I guess you'd call it the East Loop.
Kind of Millennium Parkish,
and
so the surrounding
right over to State Street, and maybe over to Clark. I forget exactly where the boundaries are, but it starts in the evening on Friday, goes into Saturday, all night.
Okay.
The Palmer House is going to have some stuff going on late night.
They are also the official hotel for Utopia.
So yeah, so when you get
they have
tired,
some kind of yeah they can, they have some kind of deal,
sure,
and stuff, but. I actually wonder if... Do you remember the MCA Summer Solstice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually am curious about checking out Looptopia this year. If only just to see if it has that kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Summer Solstice was obviously a smaller scale event when I think about it. But that was a lot of fun in the years past. So
yeah.
Well, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, it sounded like people were going to have fun at Looptopia. It's a huge list of stuff that's going on, so it's worth just going to the Looptopia website, which is looptopia.com. LOOPTOPIA. Some free, some pay. Mostly free, though. Definitely worth checking out. Got anything on Saturday?
Saturday is... I do not, actually.
No, I've got some stuff.
You've got a bunch of stuff.
Saturday, there's something called the Skip Rope Revolution at Mess Hall. Mess Hall is a small sort of arts and culture collaborative type space up in Rogers Park. And this is going to be a series of creative pieces around the act and experience of skipping rope. Should be pretty interesting. It's from 5 to 9 p.m. We don't have any price listed. It's usually donation for their events. Regardless, it's not going to be expensive. Worth checking out. That's on Saturday. Also, the Children's Humanities Festival kicks off on Saturday. It's part of the just kind of constantly ongoing Chicago Humanities Fest. There's a couple of things going on all weekend with that. They're low priced. They're great for hanging out with kids, preferably your own. But if you need to, borrow some with permission and check that kind of stuff out. How about later on? Do you have anything on Sunday?
On Sunday, I do. On Sunday, we have some interesting things, but the one that kind of piqued my interest was the Hell's Ferry Spring Roll.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a food. It's the Hell's Ferry Scooter Club, and they're having their spring ride.
Yeah.
And it starts at the Coffee Studio at 5628 North Clark.
Uh-huh.
And it starts at noon, and they're going all the way down to Chinatown for lunch. And
Should be cool.
It's just getting together with scooterists. It's free, and non-members are welcome. Yeah. So,
you've got a scooter, jump in.
Yeah, check it out.
And we're talking the motorized type, not, you know, razors.
Exactly.
Cool. How about later on in the week? Anything else?
Monday, we have a bunch of book-related things going on.
Okay.
Quimby's is having a new releases party of a bunch of things that they're putting out in the store at 7 p.m. It's free.
Uh-huh.
And the bookseller in Lincoln Square, Nina DeVoix, Elizabeth Klein, and Joe Mino, who we've all had in our book club, featured in our book club, they're all releasing their new books, and or will be talking about their new books.
Cool.
And that's from 7 p.m. as well. So, you know, if you're in the Wicker Park West area, go to Quimby's. If you're up north, go to the bookseller.
Nice. I almost forgot that I do have something else for Saturday.
What's on Saturday?
Saturday is also the Craft Mafia's Handmade Market. MAYED. They're going to be over at Zola Jones, which is 1944 West Montrose.
Exactly.
Not quite.
Kind of Montrose, Damon-ish.
Yeah, about that. A whole bunch of local crafters are going to be there from 11 to 5. Selling jewelry, purses, hand-knitted dog sweaters, and other crafts, along with Zola Jones's own bags. Definitely worth checking out.
Definitely.
And then on this coming Wednesday, next Wednesday, the Lovable Losers Literary Review is at El Jardin over in Wrigleyville. Kind of paying attention to Chicago Cubs. It's a photojournalist, Tammy Lechner. She's reading some original work and discussing a photo documentary of 15 seasons of Chicago Cubs. There will also be poet Sid Yiddish and Evanston writer Christine Sneed and Donald Evans, the author of Good Money After Bad, is going to be the MC. It's free. It starts at 7:30 p.m. And they have very strong drinks at El Jardin. So whether the Cubs win or lose,
you've got something to drown your sorrows or uplift your spirits in.
Yes. They're currently in first place, I think, still. So that's, there's plenty to celebrate.
Cool.
Anyway.
I think that's all we've got this week.
Yeah. So tune in next week. We will be back with a few more things to tell you about. And please do chime in the comments about your favorite Chicago-style hot dog.
We may even make it a fuel question.
Yeah, so maybe we should.
Yeah. Cheers.
Talk to you later.